I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
My dear viewers of Madrid channel, you're watching
I Love Islam.
And you can see these kids are lively, full of energy today. What does that mean? That means we're gonna have some
fun!
Inshallah Azza wa Jal. At the same time, we're going to be learning about Islam as well. So before we do anything else, let's quickly go to the quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Quiz of the day. Come on everyone, are you ready? Come on then, let's see what's the question. The question is, how many rounds are there in tawaf? The first thing you need to find out is, what does the word tawaf mean? Maybe some of you are hearing for the first time. It's a great honor if someone gets chance to do a tawaf. By the way, alhamdulillah, we've got some kids here in the program. So before we do anything else, let's quickly see who has joined us in the studio today. Let's go towards my right side. We have Mr. Little. Assalamu alaikum.
First of all, my name is Mr. Little. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Ali.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Ali? Are you okay?
Yes.
MashaAllah. I was testing you if you're focused. Does that mean if you want to be, you can be focused? That's what I've learned today.
Huh?
If you want to behave and you want to be good, I know Ali can become good.
Yeah, but always.
What does that mean?
Be quiet.
Are you full of energy today?
Yes.
We're going to find out. You're going to read a lot to us today, aren't you? That we'll find out there then. We'll find out how much energy you've got. Okay, let's use that energy in reading the Naat of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Inshallah.
Inshallah.
MashaAllah. May Allah bless you. One day, inshallah, he's going to host the program as well.
Yeah.
Inshallah. Say inshallah.
Say inshallah. Inshallah.
Next to him, we have another regular face, Baba Noman. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Noman? You okay?
Alhamdulillah.
Are you ready for the day as well?
I could become a Baba one day.
One day, inshallah, you'll become a Baba, but you'll have to wait about 80 more years. May Allah Ta'ala bless you, keep you well. And we have few kids here on the side as well. We have Mr. Aban. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Aban?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. It looks like one day you're going to become a teacher. I don't know why. You've got that style in you that you like teaching someone. Well, I'll tell you one thing. To teach, you have to learn first.
Yeah.
So you have to get back to your books, do all the reading and writing, and then start teaching one day, inshallah.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the day?
Yeah.
And next to you, we have...
Adam.
Subhanallah. Why did you not let me say the word Baba? Did you think that I'm going to say the Baba to you?
Yeah.
How can you even think that I'm going to say Baba to you?
Because you said it to them.
Because I am going to say to you, Baba Adam. How are you, Adam? Are you okay?
I'm good.
MashaAllah. You can see these kids, MashaAllah, they come here in the program. You know, this is a bit of fun. We're just having a fun. They're just trying to bring a bit of smile on their face. That's what it is. You know, in family, we need to make friends with our children. So kids out there, wherever you are, whichever country you are, you're watching this program, make sure you enjoy this program. Stay tuned. Watch this program till the end, because we have some beautiful segments. We have some really nice topics I will be discussing. And also, these kids on the show, they will be performing, they'll be reciting Naat of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, we'll be hearing them very soon as well. But before we do anything else, let's go to our first segment of the day. Do you kids remember the name? It's
My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, My Islam. Subhanallah, this is the time where we get a chance to learn so many beautiful things about our religion, about the teachings of Islam. Subhanallah, today we have a wonderful topic that we're going to talk about. It's really nice, very close to the heart. It's very closely connected to the heart. What could it be? The topic starts with the letter...
You forgot already.
Ooh, I don't want to give it away, yeah, do I? Okay then, I'll tell them the Arabic...
Can you tell us in a bit?
The first letter in the Arabic... And the first letter in English, I'll tell you both letters, but I won't tell you which one is which. Okay? So you got letter I and you got letter S.
Wait, what was the question?
The question is you have to guess the topic. So we are going to talk about something that's closely connected to the heart.
Faith.
This thing is important for like a firm faith.
Oh, so I kind of got it. Salam.
Yeah, you should give salam to each other, mashallah.
Wait, oh, that's a topic?
No. Let's see.
Let's see. That's not the topic. It starts with S in English. Remember, it's something to do with, like, you know, beautifying your worship, your actions.
Salah.
Salah. Wow.
You still got it wrong.
That's still wrong.
What? Is it,
Salah is beautiful.
Is it like an emotion?
Salah will take a person to Jannah, inshallah.
Is it like an
emotion? That's not the topic.
Is it like an emotion?
That's a good one. It's kind of an emotion, yeah, you could say that.
Is it psalm?
Is it psalm?
Because it starts with S. I'm just saying stuff.
Is that true with emotion?
With
a feeling. You do feel emotion, don't you, when you have a rosa?
Yeah.
Because you're hungry.
Yeah.
Is it a surah?
Is it a surah of the Quran? Guess what?
It is.
One of the surah of the Quran has that name.
So how would we know?
Look in the Quran and go back to your memory lane and find that contents page of the Quran. Find the whole 114 chapters. It's one of them.
I can't memorize.
So one of the chapter in the Quran is near the last, from the last five surah. It's one of them.
Close our word. Surah Ikhlas.
Surah Ikhlas.
Yes.
So the word Ikhlas, that's the Arabic word for our topic.
But then what's the English word then?
That's what you need to tell me. You're the superhero.
What
does
Ikhlas
mean?
Sikhlas. Ikhlas.
What does Ikhlas even mean?
That's going to give the answer away. Come on. You're there now. Come on.
Wait, are you late? Like, how do you speak?
Whenever you do something, you should have Ikhlas in you.
Also, when you like speak, then
bravery.
When you speak
from the tongue. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
Like,
so then
you don't speak from your nose. You speak from the tongue.
You should have some confidence.
You have to have
confidence.
You have confidence.
Is it just a surah?
Obviously, you have confidence. But that's
basically it's.
Another
time. We have a challenge in the program as well, especially for Ali. He can't use the word basically, and he can't use the word technically. He's already used it once, so we're going to keep a count. Someone's going to keep a count in the program.
It's been four.
He's already done eight because...
No, we can't count in the program, not before the program. We'll let him off. Whatever he did before is off the camera, isn't it? So when it's live on the camera, he's already started one. Let's see if he can get to 50 by the end of it. Anyway, so Ikhlas. Come on, what is it? Have a guess. What is Ikhlas? I've given you a clue. Look, I've said a sentence. Whenever you perform and whenever you do worship, any action you do, especially when you do good actions, you should have ikhlas in you. What does that mean?
You should have intention.
Close. Remember, intention could be bad as well. Bad intention.
Good intention.
For good intention, you need this. You're right. You're there
sensation.
Now.
Sensation.
Intention.
I don't know, money.
I don't know is not the answer.
It starts with I.
It starts with I. Ikhlas.
Yeah.
But in English, it would be with S.
Oh, S.
And if I say the name, you'll think, oh, I know that.
What's the Islam? How many letters are there in the word?
In the word, there are 1, 2, 3, 4.
How is that?
There are four letters in the word.
Same.
In the word.
Oh. What are the word?
Four letters in the word. Sincerity. Sincerity. Ikhlas. Sincerity, however you want to pronounce it. You got me muddled up here as well. Sincerity, that's our topic today.
That's more than
and
four
this
words.
Is very important.
Said in the world.
What's the most important thing as a human being? It's the belief. Iman.
Faith.
Yeah? To have a true faith, to become a complete Muslim, or to become a Muslim, you have to have sincerity. You have to have ikhlas. Not just, you know, say the words of Shahada, yeah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Not just say, I testify that there's none worthy of worship other than Allah, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah. These are important words to become a Muslim, but you have to have sincerity, you have to have ikhlas, you have to mix ikhlas, yeah, in these feelings, in that thought. Yeah, you know when you have a cup of tea, you mix sugar, don't you?
Yeah.
Or you mix milk in it, yeah?
So yeah, because you need baby.
What do you like drinking? Juice? Do you mix sometimes the juice in the water? That was special flavor.
I don't do that.
Dilute, yeah. You don't do it, do you?
No.
Okay, then that means you're still a baby then. Okay. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sincerity. Ikhlas. As a Muslim, it's essential for us to know that there is so much importance in sincerity, in ikhlas. You know, whatever you do in life, if someone is not sincere, what does sincere mean, by the way? Here, what do we do? When we say become a sincere person, whenever you worship, do it with sincerity, do it with ikhlas. What do we actually mean? What do you think, Ali?
Do it in the way that Allah taught you to do it.
That's a good one, mashallah. So do those actions the way Allah Ta'ala has commanded you. Mashallah. What else?
Do it with intention.
Yeah, make a good intention. Yeah. There's something else. Whatever we do, what should be our purpose?
To complete it.
That's a key thing to...
No, to do it.
To do something, you have to have sincerity. You have to have willpower. That
resilience.
Yes.
To be a good person.
There's something else I'm looking for. There's one key thing. Anything that you do, obviously the good things here. So you're reading Quran, you're reading your Salah, you're inviting people towards Islam, you're reading the Naat of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, you're doing Zikr, you're doing Istighfar, you're giving charity, you're doing all sort of good things. But why do you do all them? What should be the main thing?
You're doing it in
the
sincerity.
Objective, the purpose.
You're doing it in the
so you can. I forgot. He mixed me up.
You do. I forgot.
No, that's I was gonna
answer.
Say
that definitely is not the answer.
You do it in the pleasure for Allah Azza wa Jal.
Yes. So whenever you perform anything, whatever you do in your life, yeah, if it's reading namaz. You're doing wuzu, you're reading namaz, you're changing your clothes, you're wearing nice and beautiful clothes, you're cleaning up at home, you're reading Quran, you're inviting people, you're giving charity. Anything that you're doing, the main purpose behind that should be that you are doing it to please Allah Ta'ala.
MashaAllah.
To make our Rabb happy. To make Allah Ta'ala happy with us. That is the key thing. And that is the essence of ikhlas. Sincerity. So whatever you do, you're doing it for Allah. Now, remember this, if that is your objective, if that's your purpose, that you want to please Allah Ta'ala, you want our Rabb to become happy with us, then whatever you do, you will make sure you do it according to the commands of Allah. Now, you can't make Allah happy by doing such things that Allah Ta'ala has told you to not do. So, for example, swearing, you know, is really bad.
Yeah.
Lying, backbiting,
smoking.
Showing off. So these type of things are things that Allah Ta'ala does not like. Yeah. And if someone is doing them things, and if he's being sincere, You know, if he you know, reflects upon his intention, then he will realize, look, what I'm doing is wrong. So this sincerity, this will, like this power, this, you know, spiritual feeling that I want my Rabb to become happy with me, this will make him stay away from sins. It is the ikhlas. It will filter out the wrong things. You know, when you have like muddled water, like, you know, muddled or cuddled water, whatever you want to call it, it's so, you know,
dirty.
And you know, you have a filter. Yeah, you have like a filter plant, you clean it all out. And on one side, yeah, it becomes all clean. And on the other side, it's all dirty, sand or whatever it was. It gets separated. So that clean water. So if we want to clean our actions, if we want to beautify our actions, we want our actions to shine and look so beautiful, so nice, we want our actions to be accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala, then we must have sincerity. We must have ikhlas. We should do things to please Allah Ta'ala. And that is a secret. That is a secret to everything. Yeah. So you must have heard, those who attend the weekly gathering of Dawat Islami on Madani channel, many times you have heard, there's a blessing of intention. Like the actions depend upon intentions. Yeah. So any action you do, it depends upon the intention. What does that mean? Any action you do, the reward and blessings that you will get for that, it will depend upon your intention. Why you're doing it. All of you, give me an example of one good thing. Don't say a separate, different thing.
Praying
namaz, okay?
Reading the Quran Pak.
You give me an example of one good thing.
Business and making money.
So when you make money, then you give it to charity.
MashaAllah.
Zakat.
That's exactly
okay.
What he said.
So these are good actions, okay? Now all of these actions, I mean, look, if a person has a wrong intention, sometimes, you know, people do so much good, but they have a wrong intention. And know what happens? All that good they do, it gets wasted. It gets burnt. It's nothing. In the court of Allah, it's not worth anything. Yeah? And the example of, let's just analyze those examples. Now, you mentioned the praying. So praying namaz. Someone, he could be praying 5 times a day, and he could be praying with Jamaat as well. That's like amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not easy. Is it easy?
No.
It's challenging, isn't it? But someone, he makes all the effort. No, he makes sure he does wuzu. He makes his way to the masjid, reads namaz with Jamaat. He makes all the effort in to read namaz. Yeah, that's one example. Yeah. Your example is, no, let me just continue with that example, so finish it off. So he's doing all this. It looks beautiful. It's amazing. It's so nice. But he's doing all this so that he's doing a deal with his parents and they're going to get him
something.
Yeah?
A PlayStation 5.
It could be a PlayStation. It could be a game. Phone. It could be money. It could be a phone. Let's talk about a phone. He's done all this because his dad promised him, if you do this for about, I don't know how many days, then you know you'll get a brand new phone. So his objective
is about
his passion, his everything is because he's doing it for the phone. Yeah. He's not doing it to please Allah Ta'ala.
It's about intention.
This is like an easy example. But let me give you like an example that actually destroys the good action. So he's worshipping, he's putting all the hard effort in, he wakes up early morning as well, but he does it to show off. So he could tell his friends, I read namaz. Yeah? I worship so much.
Be quiet.
Yeah. So he's doing it to show off that people around him, they look at him and they say, you know what, this guy's a top guy. You know, he worships Allah Ta'ala so much. He's a next level. Yeah. So he's doing it to show off. And if that's the purpose, if that's the objective, you know what happens?
What?
All the good things he does,
they turn into bad.
They burn away. He is wasting all his good deeds. That is quite scary. Because in the court of Allah, what's important is ikhlas, is sincerity. So whenever you do something, make sure you ask yourself, why am I doing this? Let me give you your example now. Reading the Quran Pak. So reading Quran Pak, someone could make so much effort in to, you know, beautify his own recitation. He recites so wonderfully. You know, he recites like a big qari. And he's got really nice tajweed, really nice voice. He's put a lot of effort in. He recites in big programs, in mehfils, in, you know, big gatherings. And he reads in the family. And everyone say, wow, this person, subhanAllah, he loves reading Quran. And a lot of people love listening to the Quran from that voice, from that person. Yeah. However, that person himself, you know why he's doing this? He's doing it to have a fame. Yeah, he wants to become famous. He was doing it so people, no, he's showing off in front of people. Yeah, I'm the one. There's no one like me in the whole city. I'm the biggest qari out there. If that is the mindset, then all that good work that he's done, it was worth nothing. Not even a small amount, not even 1%. It's waste. It's harmful for that person. And we're not saying that person shouldn't be reading the Quran. We're not saying that person shouldn't be reading the namaz because he's got wrong intentions. He needs to continue those good actions, but correct his intention. He needs to correct his, you know, he needs to become more sincere. He needs to do things with ikhlas. And the essence of ikhlas is that he needs to do these actions just to please Allah Ta'ala. Like the example of zakat as well, like Noman said early on. So giving zakat is a noble act. It's one of the pillars of Islam. However, if someone is giving zakat and is telling, listen, this is zakat for you. Yeah, I've helped you out there. That's not a nice way. You've just degraded that person. You made him look down. You made him feel like he's a poor person. That's not the right way. Now, if you have that type of mindset that you're giving zakat to people, but you're trying to show off in front of them, you're trying to make them feel that you're so like great, so big, and then you want that person to become like your slave, and listen to you all the time, that's not the right way. So whatever we do, the moral of today's segment is, whatever we do in life, it's not just for like a small thing, it's a life lesson, this thing. It's so important in our whole life. Whatever we do, because we are small, we are adult, we become big, whatever. Wherever you are, if you're at home, if you're in the hospital, if you're at work, if you're at school, if you're with friends, we must have ikhlas in our actions. We need to mix ikhlas in our actions, then inshallah, then these actions will be closer to Allah Ta'ala. And our Rabb, our Creator will become happy with us. And when our Rabb is happy with us, then what will happen? Allah Ta'ala will take us
to Jannah.
Jannah. Subhanallah. So sincerity is so powerful. Sincerity, remember, good intention can lead a person
to Jannah.
Jannah. Yeah, so that's the power of sincerity. The summary of the whole discussion is good intention can lead a person to paradise, to Jannah. So be sincere. Yeah, whenever you deal with other people, don't do things with wrong intentions. Don't harm anyone. Don't harm anyone. Always look after each other. Be caring. Be nice to each other. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to be sincere in our actions. What if someone has got a haram way of earning? Yeah? It's not the right way. He's either stolen something or he's selling something which is not allowed in Islam. So it's haram earning. But his intention is good. His intention is, I want to feed my family. I need to buy new clothes for my kids for Eid. Yeah, I want to do so much charity. Yeah, so he's done a fast track to get so much money. Yeah, and he's found a trick. He's found a way, you know, to get a hold of the bank. He's got loads of money with him, but he did it with the haram way. So what does that? How do you weigh that up then? So he's earned the money in the haram way, but he's got a good intention. He's sincere. Yeah, he wants to do good things with that. So in this type of scenario, remember one rule. The rule is that if you having a good intention is beautiful, isn't it? That's what we just spoke
Mashallah.
About.
Yeah?
We spoke about the importance of good intention. However, with the good intention, the action needs to be good as well. Yeah. So someone can't say, oh, I'm going to help my family today. I want to buy them a special meal tonight. So let me go and rob someone. So with the good intention, you have to have good action as well.
You know, because if you're going to rob somebody, even though you're helping yourself, you're making the other person less than
you. Yeah. In the case that you just mentioned, if someone is robbing someone, so he might, you know, get some money. So he robbed someone, took jewelry from someone, for example. Yeah. So he's become rich in a way. Yeah. But he's stolen that. That's not his. He's not really benefited. That's harmful for him. He's robbed someone else's property. So it's harm for him because it's a sin for him. Yeah, he needs to do tawbah. He needs to give that money back. He needs to give that treasure back. And the other person who he stole from, that, for that person, obviously, that person will be in a tragedy. You know, it's a big loss for that individual. And they'll be crying. They'll be in shock. Yeah, so you've harmed the other people as well. But at the same time, for yourself, you've not benefited yourself. You might think, you know, just for the moment, you might think you got loads of money with you. But in reality, this is harmful for you. No, like we just said early on, we heard the importance of good intention. A good intention can lead a person to Jannah. Everyone, all the kids who are watching this program, make sure you know, we have sincerity in our actions. Whenever you are nice to your family, don't do it to show off. Don't do it so that they have to do good to you as well. It doesn't matter if they don't be nice to you. As long as you are sincere, as long as you are showing love from your side, be nice, be kind. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to be sincere in our actions. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now it's that moment in the program where we're going to have kids reciting the naat of the Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Come on Ali, are you ready?
Yes.
MashaAllah. Which kalam are you going to read?
Ankun Qatara.
Oh, subhanAllah. That's kids' favorite kalam, isn't it? Kids love listening to that. So all of you kids who are watching this program and the big kids, if you are watching this program, can you please join in this beautiful kalam reciting by Noman.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habibullah ya Rabbi Mustafa pe bola ke main dekh lu aankh se kaaba tera ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah haj ka sharaf pe ata ya Rabb Mustafa haj ka sharaf ya Rabbi Mustafa meeta Madina phir dikha meeta Madina phir dikha ya Rabbi Mustafa ya Rabbi Mustafa tu mujhe haj pe bula aake main dekh lu aankh se kaaba tera ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah rukh sue kaaba haath mein zum zum ka jaam ho rukh sue kaaba haath mein zum zum ka jaam ho peekar karu main phir dua peekar ya Rabbi Mustafa ya Rabbi Mustafa tu mujhe haj pe bula ke main dekh lu aankh se kaaba tera ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah sab bakhsh de antane sar ko tu be hisab bakhsh de antane sar ko tujhko nabi ka wasda tujhko nabi ka wasda ya rab mustafa ya rab mustafa tu mujhe haj pe ke main dekh lu aankh se kaaba tera ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Alhamdulillah, that was a beautiful kalam. Our topic was sincerity. Yeah, if you listen to such kalams and you have sincerity, you ask, you know, from the bottom of your heart, you ask in the court of Allah. If you have sincerity, if you have ikhlas, inshallah, the door will open for you and you will get the call as well. Inshallah. Azza wa Jal, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now we have Adam and Aban who are going to read a naat. I believe both of you can read the same kalam?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to have twin kalam. Well, kalam is one, but we're going to have twin, both brothers reading together as well. And in fact, Noman and Ali can join in as well. It's one of the famous kalam. They love reading this kalam, inshallah. Come on, everyone, let's recite through the back. Sallallahu alayhi wa Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habibullah. Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sadke mein aqa saare jahan ko deen mila be deenon ne kalma pada la ilaha illallah hasbi rabbi jalla allah ma fi qalbi ghayrullah Muhammad sallallahu la ilaha illallah. Simt nabi ho jahal gaya aqa se usne kaha karo nabi badla ho zara meri murti mein hai kya kaka farma Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah ma fi qalbi ghayrullah nur Muhammad sallallahu la ilaha صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. سبحان الله, what a wonderful kalam, well recited by Adam and Aban. MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala bless you. And obviously Ali was part of it as well. Yeah, Ali, are you going to read that kalam now or should we read it in 5 minutes?
What about me?
Oh, you joined as well, I forgot. We don't just listen to the kalam and join in. No, enjoy the kalam. Be part of it. You know, whenever you get a chance to read or listen to the naat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should be focused. Let's leave everything to one side because it's a remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a dhikr of Allah ta'ala. Whenever you have Islamic kalams that you get a chance to listen to, you know, you should do it with love. And what was the key word we learned before?
Sincerity.
Yeah? Be sincere in your actions. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon all of us. Now it's time, before we move on to Mr. Ali, we're going to move on to our next segment. Ali, did you know?
Did you know?
It's a
what did
segment,
I know?
Did you know?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillah, in this segment, we have beautiful, interesting topics. We share some facts. Okay? It's a facts. It's a segment about facts about Islam.
Facts.
And it's linked to one of the kalam someone recited here.
Oh.
No.
Nomans.
Yes.
Oh. Hajj.
Yes, it's true with that journey. Yeah. There's something that we do,
oh, no,
or those people who do, is part of that journey. And we're going to be learning something about them. Ji, what could it be?
Is it important facts about Hajj?
Yeah.
Important about... It's, you could say...
About Umrah.
It's Hajj and Umrah. This thing that we're going to talk about is like you do this in both places.
You walk.
What could it be? You walk, obviously.
Important facts about the places.
Important facts about the places. It's not really about a place. It's a state. It's a state that you're in. If you're going for Umrah or you're going for Hajj. When you make the intention for Hajj, and when you make the intention for Umrah, you get into this particular state. For example, when you're reading namaz, when you say takbir to start your namaz, you say, Allahu Akbar. Now you're in the state of salah. You're in the prayer, aren't you? You're not out of the prayer. You're inside the prayer. Someone is performing Hajj or Umrah, there's a certain state they're in. And the word starts with I.
Intelligence.
You have to be in the state of intelligence now.
This is what we're saying.
That they wear certain clothing.
Or the white.
Oh,
the
white
clothes. Oh, the white clothing. That's the clothing where you wear when you die.
Is it what you wear for Hajj?
You wear for Hajj and Umrah.
Is it the white clothes?
It's the white clothes, but what do you call them?
Imama.
You don't call them Imama. By the way, when you're in that state, you cannot wear Imama.
Yes.
You can't wear Imama, you can't wear a topi, you can't cover your head in that
state. Why? Because you're bald.
You have to be bald.
No, what I'm could not struggling that much.
You're not struggling that much. You're taking hours and hours. What's going on?
Iris.
You're taking years to get the answer. You're not struggling. I-H-R.
Ihsan?
I-H-R. Where's Ihsan come there?
Ihram.
Ihram. The state of
Ihram.
So them two white pieces of cloth that we see when people go to perform Umrah and Hajj. Yeah, the one is on the best, they're like a big shawl on top, and one at the bottom they wear, the lower garment. So this, a lot of people call this ihram. So when you go to like Islamic bookshops, you can buy ihram. There's packets there. Can I buy one ihram? Can I buy two ihram? People buy these two pieces of clothes, the normal sheets. And these days you have like a towel material as well. So people think this is ihram. Yeah, so when you're wearing the place of clothes, remember this, we're learning about the facts about ihram. So first thing I want you to remember is that these two pieces of clothes, they're just two pieces of white clothes. That's what they are. They are not ihram. Yet people call it ihram. No, it's not a big thing. But in reality though, the ihram is actually the state that person is in. So once you wear them remember you take the rest clothes off, you only wear them two sheets. So if you're the richest person, there could be kings who are going to do Hajj. Yeah, could be a poor person, could be anyone in the world. Yeah, it could be a big Muslim. Everyone is in that same state, in the state of Ihram. Yeah, and that is one of the beauty of Islam. This is a sign of unity and love and obedience in Islam. It doesn't matter which language you speak, what culture you belong to, which country you come from. And it doesn't matter what your family status is, your financial status is, whoever you are, you're in the state of ihram. A person right next to you could be a king. You won't even know.
Yeah? How will you know?
A person might be there, he's in the same state. And because it's these days, people are made of protocol as well. You'll see people like around him, like security guards. But generally, they'll be in the same state. Who is in the state of Ihram are those people who have made the intention for Umrah or for Hajj.
Masha'Allah.
So those people who are in Makkah Sharif, and the Imam, like the people who are the caretakers, the security guards, who are in the management or the shopkeepers in that area, them people who are not doing Umrah, They're not performing Umrah. They're not performing Hajj. They're just there in Makkah and Medina. They're in Makkah Sharif. They are not in the state of Ihram. So they can wear any clothes. So if someone's not in the state of Ihram, even like yourself as well, inshallah, may Allah take you all to, inshallah, to perform Umrah. And when you performed your Umrah and when you come out from the state of Ihram, you can wear any clothes. So it's not that when you go to Makkah Sharif, every time when you're there, you have to wear them same clothes. It's not like that. You only wear them to them. You only are in the state of Ihram if you have the intention to perform
Umrah
or Hajj. Yeah. So remember that rule, okay? That's one fuck we've learned today.
MashaAllah.
So them two pieces of clothes that people wear, that's not just Ihram. Ihram is actually the state that you're in. And that could sometimes be like some days. You might be there for 4 or 5 days in that state, depending on where you made the intention from and how long is your journey, how long you're staying there. Yeah, sometimes people, you know, before the days of Hajj, yeah, they get there 4 or 5 days before. So they make the intention when they leave their country, they make the intention of Hajj and they be in that state of Ihram and they remain in that state of Ihram until they perform their Hajj, then they come out. Yeah. So overall, some things that we're learning about Ihram. So in Ihram, that's a special state that you're in. You've made the intention to perform Umrah for Allah Ta'ala. And Umrah, by the way, is two parts. It's Tawaf of the Kaaba, the rounds of the Kaaba, and also doing rounds of Safa and Marwa. Okay, these are the special like worship that we do. Today, we're talking about the state of Ihram. So Ihram, you know, what does that mean? You've made the intention that you're going to perform Umrah, you're going to perform Hajj. What else? You're in that state that you say you have put yourself in the court of Allah Ta'ala. You're saying, Ya Allah, I'm a really bad person. I've done so much wrong things in my life. Ya Allah, I'm coming, you know, to do Umrah, to perform Hajj. You know, you're in a way, you're saying to Allah Ta'ala that you're nothing. I'm nothing. I'm the bad person. Yeah. Like, Ya Allah, I've committed wrong things in my life. Ya Allah, I've come in your court like a beggar and I'm asking you for mercy. So with that mindset, a person should perform Umrah and Hajj. Yeah? And them two pieces of clothes, white color, like Ali said early on, I don't know where he came from, but he looks like he's performed janaza somewhere. The person who's passed away, we shroud that person. We put kafan on that person. That is white cloth as well. So this ihram should remind a person about death as well. Yeah. So that's something that person should feel as well. Look, I'm in two pieces of clothes. Yeah, I'm in the state of ihram. When I pass away, I'll be in the same state. All the wealth of the dunya, all the belongings, all the furniture, whatever I have in this life, they'll stay behind. All the phones, the gadgets, the games, furniture, the house, everything will leave behind. When a person passes away, he will leave everything here. He will leave family here as well. He will go empty-handed. Yeah? He soon could become a millionaire, yeah, but he'll go empty-handed. Yeah, so that's why it's important to remember this. It's like a reality check. When someone gets a chance to perform Umrah, it's a reality check, makes them aware, look who you are. And it makes you feel like, you know, it makes you, come to your reality that we are Muslims. We are the people of Allah Ta'ala. We need to be obedient. We need to do whatever Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has made us stay away from, we have to stay away from. In the state of Ihram, another fact about Ihram is when a person is in this state, there are some things that have become, they were probably halal before, now they become haram for that person as well. So there's like a list of things. Yeah. So in a nutshell, being in the state of Ihram is like you have a boundary. You have like requirements now. These are things you cannot do in Ihram. These are things that you have to do in Ihram. And one of the examples I give you was you can't cover your head. You can't cover your face. Yeah, you have to keep it open. So when this person reads namaz, in the state of Ihram, the person needs to read namaz with nothing covering his head. And however, when you're out of the Ihram, yeah, this is something that is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to cover your head. To tie the imamah around your head is one of the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are a few things to keep in mind. When does a person come out of the state of Ihram? What do you think? So he's in the state of Ihram, he's going to perform Umrah, he's going to perform Hajj. When does he come out of the state of Ihram? He has to do something. What's that final thing he needs to do? That makes him come out of the state of Ihram.
when they complete Hajj or when they complete Umrah.
You're correct. Well, you need to tell me, when do they complete? What's the last action?
When they finish it.
When they finish Namaz. Or going around the Kaaba.
It's like a special action they have to do.
Going around the Kaaba seven times.
When they go on the long walk.
Once they've done, they perform the rituals, the practices of Umrah, and they practice the things of Hajj, right at the end, the last thing they do is they shave their heads.
They shave their heads.
It's called halaq. They do halaq. They shave their head. It's from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they shave their head, and it's an important part. And once you shave the head, or you cut your hair, and there's a certain requirement for that as well. For ladies, they have to cut some part of their hair as well. And when they do that, then they come out of the state of ihram. They can wear other clothes as well now. So this is something that we need to remember. Today you've learned something that you were not aware before. Yeah, when Muslims go to perform Hajj or Umrah, they be in a certain state.
Yeah, I already knew that.
And that's a sign of humility. Being humble, not something of being arrogant and having pride. Yeah. It's something to show that you're really a low person, you're nothing. You're putting yourself in the court of Allah Ta'ala. You say, Ya Allah, I'm here. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to wear the ihram of Hajj and Umrah many times in our life. Ameen. Now, inshallah, we're going to get Ali to recite a kalam. Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment, Sunnah and Manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Sunnah and Manners. This is time where we get to learn so many beautiful sunnah and manners about Islam. Today, we have another S that we're going to talk about.
Sincerity.
Sand.
It's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something that it happens to us. We don't really do it on purpose. It's like not part of life. I'm talking about the body. It's something that happens from us. And we don't do it every day. Sometimes it could be like, you might not do it for 2-3 weeks. But it does happen.
Salah.
So especially when when you're unwell or like there's dust. Some people they have like
an allergy.
That's the one. We are going to talk about sneezing. Don't worry, we're not going to explain to you how to sneeze. So today, sneeze is something that's part of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you guys never sneezed? You always sneeze.
I have sneezed.
When you sneeze, what should you say? It is sunnah to say something.
Alhamdulillah.
So whenever we sneeze, we should say
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, we should thank Allah Ta'ala. We should say Alhamdulillah.
Wait, why should you thank Allah Ta'ala for sneezing?
Sneezing is from Allah Ta'ala. There's a lot of discussion, but today we're gonna learn something important. Okay, sneezing. Whenever you sneeze, you say Alhamdulillah. It is sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say
Alhamdulillah.
Now, if you said Alhamdulillah, No, it's not necessary, but it's good. We should do it. Shouldn't miss it like every time. Yeah. Now the next part is important though. If someone sneezes in front of you and they said, Alhamdulillah. Yeah, they said these words and you heard it. Yeah. How should you reply to the sneeze?
Yarhamukallah.
I want all of you to say it, okay? Let's start from that side. No, start from Ali. Then we go right on the right side, okay?
Okay.
No. So Ali, you say first.
Yarhamukallah.
And say the ha clearly, please.
Yarhamukallah.
Yarhamukallah. That's better. Can you say it?
Yarhamukallah.
Mashallah. Yarhamukallah.
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 Yarhamukallah. It is wajib to reply the sneeze. And these are the words you could say with, okay, yarhamukallah. And so that first person sneezed, he said, Alhamdulillah. Second person heard it, he says, you should give dua to that person. Yarhamukallah. May Allah have mercy on you. Making dua for that person. May Allah have mercy on you. And then,
The person
who heard the reply, it's good for him to give dua as well.
So
the first person should do the dua for the other people as well. And you should say, Yaghfirullahu lana walakum. There's different words. One of them are, Yaghfirullahu lana walakum. Yaghfirullahu
lana walakum.
MashaAllah, today we've learned a few duas that are linked with sneezing. We learned a few manners as well. You also learned dua. So if you sneeze, what should you say?
Alhamdulillah.
And then if someone heard you say, if you heard someone saying Alhamdulillah after sneeze, how should you reply?
Yaghfirullah.
And then the first person should also make the dua for the people as well. Yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum. MashaAllah. Now it's time for us to move on to our final segment of the day.
It's called
Harmful
Habits.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Harmful Habits. This is the time where we get a chance to discipline ourselves, sort ourselves out, try to iron. You have to iron your clothes sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to iron ourselves as well. Not with the iron. Yeah.
Steam.
Well, you need to sort your behavior out. Okay. And today we've got an interesting topic. And I won't ask you to guess this, but I'm going to tell you. Now I want you to tell me what do you think this means? Okay. This habit is having long hopes.
What?
Having long hopes. This is one of the thing that is it becomes a habit in someone. Having long hopes. Why is this a bad habit? What do you think? What comes to your mind? Give me an example.
Shouldn't really have long hopes because you never know when you could leave this dunya. Mm-hmm. And
you're right. MashaAllah, that was good. That was good.
That's
anyone
what
else?
I was gonna say.
You're going to say the same thing?
Yeah, I read his mind.
You read his mind? Oh, we've got some mind readers here as well. MashaAllah. So having long hopes, okay? First of all, there's a category. It's not like every hope is wrong, okay? There are some good hopes you should have. You should always have them hopes. You should always have high hopes. You should have hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. You should have hope Allah Ta'ala will enter us in paradise. No, there's them things as well. Well, here when we say having long hopes, it refers to the worldly things, the materialistic things, the things that I will leave behind here. For example, someone is like always like, you know, wants, for example, someone might say, oh, I want to be like kid all the time.
Yeah.
I want to be a kid. After 10 years, I still want to be a kid. After 50 years, I want to be a kid. That's not going to happen, is it?
No. Yeah, you can't be a kid.
Yeah? You can't be a kid anymore, Ali. You're still a kid?
Yeah.
He just said yes. He said it live in the program, you're a kid. That's a confirmed baby Ali there.
No, that's it.
It's
kid,
chapter
Ali.
Closed.
No, that's chapter, a Mr. Kid Ali.
Chapter closed now. So having long hope, here he refers to the world. Yeah. Someone always wants money. I want more money. I want more. I want more. Someone's got £10. I want £20. Someone's got 20. I want £40. Someone's got 40. I want 100. Someone's got 100. I want 1,000. I want 10,000. Sometimes you just start becoming greedy for wealth. And then someone has like a feeling towards cars. They got one car. Oh, I want another car. I want an expensive car. And they just live their life, earning to buy the cars. Some people have one phone. It's not for them. Well, I want another phone. Or I want to sell this. I buy another new one. So every 6-8 months, they want a new thing. Yeah. And they're just constantly thinking about the worldly things. I want power, I want wealth, I want fame, I want this, I want that. These things make you forget about your akhirah. We're not here to just to live here, enjoy ourselves here, as if we're gonna be here forever. This life, this dunya, this world is temporary place. Our real life is in the akhirah. So this habit of having these long hopes, I want wealth, I want loads of luxury, and I want this. Yeah, we need to come to reality. The reality is life is full of challenges. There'll be difficult times. And Islam teaches us to be prepared, to be ready for the hard times. And those people who always have these hopes, and one day their hope's going to break. Yeah, they won't be able to carry on. They'll snap. Mentally, they won't be strong enough to carry on. Yeah, so we need to be ready, be prepared. If you want hope, have hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, work towards your akhirah. Try to focus in worshipping Allah Ta'ala. Make your day, every day better in terms of getting closer to our Rabb. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to get rid of this habit of having long hopes of the dunya. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to have the yearning and the longing of paradise, inshallah. Azza wa Jal. Now it's time for us to close the program. But before we do that, let's quickly go and see what's basically the answer of the day. What was the question, boys?
You said basically
how many rounds are there?
How many rounds are there of tawaf?
It's 7 rounds.
We're going to take a leave now. So look after yourself. Stay well. Keep watching. Maghrib channel will be back next week again, inshallah.
I love Islam.